So Stephanie, today we're going to be talking about the difficulties that people have when it comes to business, because let's face it, selling is not the easiest profession in the world.
And let's be honest, business isn't the easiest profession in the world. Being in business, my personal belief is that entrepreneurs are the hardiest breed of human beings out there, because we go up against total everything every single day and still come out on top somehow.
Yeah, or if we have some kind of defeat, I don't know of a single entrepreneur that just lays on their back and goes, well, that's the end of my life. No, we get back up and we move forward and we do something different.
So we do.
Discipline is required to be successful.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the hardest thing that we can work on in our lives, because especially as entrepreneurs, a lot of us have actually gotten to the point where the reason we're entrepreneurs is we didn't want to have a boss. We wanted to pick our own hours. We didn't realize that we were going to be working from 6 a.m. to sometimes 9, 10 o'clock p.m.
Right.
And all of that good stuff. But we wanted independence. And so we didn't think that we needed discipline, or we figured that, you know, sitting in front of the computer in our PJs was going to be the way to work.
Well, I mean, I make money, don't you? But you're right. No, we did. And the funny thing about discipline is that it takes discipline to build discipline. So it's almost like the chicken and the egg. Like, what came first?
Yeah.
The discipline to build the discipline, or the discipline to do your job? So it's an interesting little conundrum here. And actually, we're bringing on a guest in just a minute here who's going to be able to give us some cool ideas.
Very cool.
Very cool ideas. That'll make a lot more sense in a minute.
Yeah.
About building discipline for yourselves. So, but, you know, let me ask you this. How has discipline made a difference for you? You're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, you're in multiple businesses. How's it made a difference for you?
Well, first of all, discipline helps you stay on track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have big goals, and if you don't have big goals, then you really shouldn't be in business. But big goals require that you have focus, and discipline gives you that focus. Plus, it helps you to move forward. Sometimes it seems like you're not moving forward, but even a little action will begin to move you forward incrementally. Plus, with discipline, you're measuring your results to see if you're really moving in the right direction, and you can make adjustments. But without discipline, Stephanie, I don't think anybody can be successful at all.
Well, I think we end up floating, you know, where it's kind of like, hey, you know, I'll get a few hours of work done today and a few hours tomorrow, and you know, at the end of the week, I might have worked 20, 30 hours, and I'm wondering why I'm not making as much money as I want, because I wasn't disciplined with the little things, with my work hours. I wasn't disciplined with reviewing my goals all the time, which is something we both teach, is review your goals every single morning. You should be looking at where you're going every single day. And so the discipline in the small things keeps us focused and allows us to make those huge steps, right? We've all heard the stories. In fact, they're the backbone of the American dream, of the guy who goes and builds a business that becomes a multi-million dollar business. You know, that doesn't happen without that discipline. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think the discipline is so important, because there's nothing worthwhile that is achieved without discipline. If we don't discipline ourselves, what happens is we dissipate our energies. Our energy goes in a lot of different directions. And then the hard work that is the backbone of success, Stephanie, that doesn't get done.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I'm really excited about with our guest, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce him at this point. His name is Mike Pierce, but he goes by the name of Antarctic Mike.
Cool.
Very cool. We told you it was going to be a cool guest. But here's the story about Mike, and you're going to want to really listen. I'm not going to give any of the big parts away, but this is a guy that lived in San Diego, who, after reading this story about people who were going to do something different and trek across Antarctica, by reading that in Bakersfield, California, of all places, he made a decision through some prompting to run two marathons. One, a regular marathon, 26 miles, and then an ultra marathon, which is closer to 62 miles in Antarctica.
I think he obviously had never experienced real cold. I mean, he was from California, so we all know it doesn't get cold over there.
Well, you, our listeners, are going to want to listen to his story, because he shares some extremely important principles that are good leadership and success principles, especially when it comes to sales. And I want you to listen especially for the advice that he receives from his hockey coach. his hockey coach when he was just 11 years old. So this is back in the 70s when I was a little older than 11 and Stephanie wasn't even a dream in my heart yet. But he tells of the price that he pays in San Diego to get ready for 2 marathons in Antarctica. And you want to hear how he galvanized himself to do that kind of grueling physical challenge. But I want you, our listeners, to understand that it's not so much what he did there, but the lessons that led him to do that, that you can take into business. Because let's face it, there are times, Stephanie, when we absolutely don't want to move forward. Mm-hmm. We are tired. Maybe the cash flow isn't there, or you have to confront a customer for payment.
Or an employee for something they did wrong, or a vendor for what, I mean, there's lots.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you have to examine, why are you in business? And let that galvanize you and take some of the advice that Mike offers here in this particular episode of Black Belt Selling.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team who are passionate about helping you smash through your goals when it comes to sales and business. On Sales Mastery, we bring guests as well as bringing content to help you grow your business and grow your sales. Now, you can learn more about us by going to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. There you're going to find content. You're going to find blogs. People post inspirational and motivational things, which we all know is real important. But most of all, you're going to find when these shows go live. So go ahead, hop over to facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. And Stephanie, today we have with us a gentleman who has some very unique experiences and has a way of sharing them with people in a powerful way to help us get through the difficult times that we have. And when I heard Mike Pierce, and I guess we'll just call you Antarctic Mike, because that's your handle, right, Mike?
Yes, it is.
When I heard Mike, I thought we have to get him on Black Belt Selling, because Black Belt Selling is taking things that people consider extreme and making them doable, even if they're hard. And so just to give our listening audience a little background, Mike, in January of 2006, became one of 9 people to run a marathon on the Antarctic continent. Now, that's the one on the South Pole, guys. That's nowhere else. 11 months, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully, we all know our geography, right?
Maybe.
Stephanie? Don't even go there.
Maybe.
11 months later, Mike returned to Antarctica to become the first American to compete in the Antarctic Ultra Marathon. Get this, that's a grueling 100 kilometers. Or for those of us that don't understand kilometers and metric, that's 62.1 miles. Whoa. Now, since then, Mike has completed many other winter marathons in the coldest and harshest climates on Earth, and his stories have been featured on CNN, Sports Illustrated, Fox, ABC, and the list goes on. Now, you're thinking, why? What's the big deal about, I don't know, if you're thinking, what's the big deal about going to Antarctica and running an ultramarathon, I have some concerns here. But you know what? Why we really brought Mike on is because the lessons that he learned and the lessons that he shares with people really have very little to do with cold weather or sports. But we're going to talk about this. It's about the disciplines necessary to be successful in difficult situations. And if you're listening to this broadcast, you know that being in sales, being in business is difficult. Yes. I mean, we're not gonna sugarcoat it and say, oh, it's all gonna be great. We all know that when you're in business and you're in sales, there are no shortcuts to success. Now, leaders face the same challenge as those who first conquered Antarctica, and the question is, are we ready? Leading at 90 below zero is all about one thing, making sure that leaders understand how to help their teams be ready to face any conditions and still thrive. Mike illustrates from polar history stories the importance of showcasing opportunities, picking the right people, and really everything we are talking about is it has directly to do with business and sales. So Mike lives in California with his beautiful wife, Angela, and he holds a BA from the University of Colorado in Boulder. So again, Mike, welcome to Black Belt Selling.
Well, thank you, Anna and Stephanie, for having me. It's an honor to be on your program.
Wow. Well, I just don't know how you even follow that kind of introduction. Mike, I'm super curious. Okay, so obviously you don't go from, you know, running 5Ks in California to running a marathon overnight in Antarctica. That's kind of something you probably decide to go do and then do it, yes?
Yes and no. I mean, I will say this, difficulty is a relative word. And one thing I learned through this process is that, and Gerhard talked about this on the radio program or the video program that Anna first heard me on, when he talked about the concept of the bigger the why, the harder the try. And I think it comes down to how badly you really want something. It's like if I say to you, well, that car is expensive. Well, what's expensive? If you really don't like the car and you don't want the car, of course it's expensive. You're going to find every reason why you can't afford it, as opposed to, hey, I really like the car. Now you can find a reason to afford it. So I think it's the same way with difficulty. When you know why you're doing something, regardless of how hard it is or it isn't, it certainly makes the conquest of whatever you're going after easier. Right. It doesn't completely pave the road, but it certainly, I think, allows you to go downhill instead of uphill.
That's really fascinating, because I think a lot of times, I even had this situation today where I had to deal with multiple issues, unhappy clients, and I had to mediate a negotiation. And through the whole thing, it would have been really tempting to say, oh, why am I even doing this? You know, why even bother? I could have an easier life. And then the wherewithal came back to me, why I'm doing this. I'm doing this for more than just a paycheck. I'm doing this to build a reputation for a company. I'm doing this because I have so much invested in what I'm doing. And that actually made it easier to get through it, even though I had some difficulty and challenges
sure.
in those situations, you know?
Now, makes total sense.
When you were getting ready, well, first of all, why did you choose to go to Antarctica to do a marathon? I mean, there's easier places to do one, Mike, you know?
That's usually the first question I hear from people. The short answer to the question, and understandably, especially since I live walking distance to the beach in San Diego, where on Christmas Day, it's 75 degrees. You know, people are like, why on earth would you choose to go do this? People spend a lot of money to come to San Diego. You're spending a lot of money and effort to go to some place that's completely opposite that. Well, don't get me wrong. I like San Diego. My wife likes it here. We were talking about this last night. But the reason I went to Antarctica was to really find out what it was like to walk in the shoes of my heroes, who were the people that first conquered Antarctica a little over 100 years ago. There were a number of expeditions starting around 1900, 1902 timeframe, where the goal was to be the first human beings to the South Pole. And I first picked up a story on this subject on a business trip in Bakersfield, California, back in 2001. I knew nothing on the subject. I had never read a history book from any kind of history in this part of the world. And when I first read a story, I thought, this is such a metaphor to the real world. The points of the story seem so obvious to really draw lessons that people in the real world could learn from today. For example, just the idea of going to the South Pole for the first time ever. That's an example of something that nobody had ever done or ever had thought of or tried before. So these stories were not only the first people to get there, these were stories of the first people who ever thought of this, who ever even tried it. And as soon as I thought of that concept, I thought to myself, well, this is just like the best businesses in the world. The best businesses in the world, whether they're printing companies, hotels, carpet companies, manufacturers, it doesn't matter. The best businesses in the world are trying to do things nobody else has ever done before. For example, they're trying to solve problems nobody's ever solved. They're trying to add value in ways nobody's ever added. And I thought to myself, that is so true, because if that's not true, why is a customer going to drive further and spend more money? They won't. And so all these thoughts literally were circulating through my head as I was standing in the aisle of the bookstore on that day in August of 2001 in Bakersfield, California, when I first read a story on the subject. And as soon as I picked up this book and got that far, I was literally 3 minutes of standing there reading, you know, sort of thumbing through the book. And when I got that far, I said, I'm going to buy this book and I'm going to dig it apart. And I'm going to find lessons in these stories through the details of the story. And I'm going to turn those lessons into an opportunity to teach leaders and business people how to be more effective. And that's exactly what I started. That was the mission I started on back in 2001. Now we're going to fast forward from 2001 to 2005, when I decided to actually go to Antarctica to run this marathon. A friend of mine challenged me. He said to me, listen, you want to go out and be a speaker. You want to go out and talk about these stories and the lessons from these stories. He said, you have to have gone to Antarctica. You can't talk about these people from 100 years ago if you haven't been there, or you don't have any credibility. And I thought, you know, this guy's right. So I did some searching on Google and found this marathon going to be run on this ice shelf 600 miles from the South Pole. This was going to come up in 2006. So now it's a year prior in 2005. I discovered this online. And he said, well, you got to go in this marathon. You're in. That's it. You're going. And I hadn't run a marathon in 20 years. I ran one marathon in my life. That was in college, you know, 20 years prior. And my first thought was, well, what do I eat? What do I wear? How do I acclimate to the temperature? I live in this place called San Diego, California. I mean, 50 degrees is about as cold as it gets ever.
Yeah.
And so my friend who suggested that I go do this, he said to me, well, Mike, think about this for a minute. The more you struggle physically, emotionally, mentally, in every way possible, the more closely you're walking in the shoes of your heroes and getting a taste of what they tasted 100 years ago. And I'm like, the guy's right. So that was it. That conversation, and I remember it very specifically. I remember where I was and when it was. I was sitting in my car at the intersection of the 805 freeway and Claremont Mesa Boulevard in the parking lot of the Starbucks coffee shop. I remember this like it was yesterday. And I remember when Greg told me this, I thought, okay, that's it. I'm going. I made the definitive decision I was going to sign up. 15 minutes later, I get home and now I'm talking to Angela, right? And I'm like, how am I going to get a hall pass for this one? I just made a decision. I'm going to run a marathon in Antarctica. So I told her the story and she's like, you're out of your mind. You're going to do what? Right? And she was very much behind it. You know, her first question is, who gave you this bright idea? I'm like, well, this guy named Greg, who I just met on the phone. See, the guy who gave me the advice, I had never met him. He was referred to me by another friend. So I called this guy on the phone. And this is just another voice on the other end of the line. This guy could have been in a phone booth in West Des Moines, Iowa. He could have been in Nigeria. He could have been in Russia. I have no idea who this guy is. But he's talking to me and he said, you got to go. And so I told my wife, I'm going, that's it. And I made the decision.
So obviously you already pointed out you're not the most ideal candidate and that you're not living already in someplace cold. What were the lessons you learned preparing to go to Antarctica for yourself?
This is where the story gets, it sort of goes from one cartoon level of insanity and humor to another level. Because I live in San Diego, you know, my wife was like, all right, we're not relocating. Okay, we're not going to International Falls, Minnesota. We're not going to Siberia, and we're not going to my favorite city in the world, which is called Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. It's a province in Canada that's brutally cold. It's north of Montana. And she's like, we're not going there. So in order to bridge the gap and acclimate, because my first thought was, well, how am I going to get ready for this? So I thought to myself, well, I got to find a freezer. So I literally pulled out the yellow page phone book. And it's kind of funny because I go to a lot of speaking engagements and I'll say to the audience, any of the younger people here listening today, have any of you never used a yellow page phone book, like a literal phone book to look up a phone number and make a phone call? And I'm getting hands that are going up and I'm like, wow, we're really getting old fast. So I literally looked under the word ice in the 2005 yellow page phone book. And so I called every phone number listed under the word ICE in the 2005 Yellow Page phone book. And I finally found this business in San Diego that's called a commercial cold storage facility. It's basically a warehouse that corporations rent space from, like you would in a, it's just a warehouse with shelving, and you can store things. And so I literally talked my way into this cold storage facility, and it got cold in this thing. It got down to minus 22 F. Now that's cold. That's like really cold.
Oh my God.
And so I trained in a commercial cold storage facility for 2 years. It's not as insane or as difficult as you'd think. Because again, when you're really focused on why am I doing this? And you're really galvanized on what the answer to that question is, it makes the level of difficulty that much easier, or the price you pay, let's say, less expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I realize it's kind of an insane story and it's way over the top, but it's what I needed to do in order to prepare mentally and physically.
Well, and I love that basically once you decided to do it, there was nothing, I mean, standing in your way. It was like, oh, I don't have access to anything to train in. Okay, let's find a solution instead of, you know, oh my gosh, I don't have any way to train for it. Oh, I'm never gonna be able to do it. Oh, I guess, right. You know, cool idea, right? It was like, go, let's go. I was talking with a lady earlier. She said her best piece of business advice was burn your boats, right? Yep. Once you commit to something, go do it instead of sitting there being like, oh, well, you know, let me think about it.
No, if the boat's in your back pocket, it's too easy to jump in it and go the other way.
That's right. Yeah, it is. Mike, you know, as you're talking about it, and I'm thinking, okay, so running around in a freezer was tough, but going to Antarctica isn't the same as running around in a freezer. What would you say one of your biggest challenges when you got to Antarctica that probably was one of your greatest life lessons that you learned?
The answer to this question is going to surprise you, because the answer to the question was there were none. It was not difficult. And I'll tell you why. Because I made the practice so much harder. You see, the difficulty of the freezer is not the fact that it's minus 22 F. Now, granted, that's cold. But the human body is a good heater. It's a much better heater than the average person realizes. The human body actually produces enough body heat to sustain itself and protect itself down to minus 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, that's really cold, but the body produces enough heat. So the temperature wasn't the challenge. Here's the challenge with the freezer. It's only 59 feet long, 59 feet from one end to the other. So I had to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, 59 feet. It'd be like if you were in a conference room and the distance from one of the back walls to the other wall was 59 feet and you were gonna train for a 26.2 mile run and a 100 kilometer ultra marathon, which is 62 miles, in a 59 foot room, going back and forth. It was the mental aspect that was most difficult, not the physical. I grew up in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is in a city outside of Philadelphia by about an hour. And I remember this really well. I was in the freezer one day, this was in 2005, and I'm running back and forth between one frozen metal wall and the other, just 59 feet apart. And I'm thinking, this is like insanity. It's boring, it's monotonous, and I'm just going back and forth. And I got to do this for hours if I'm going to cover enough distance to start to train for this. And so I remember I had a flashback to 1976. Now in 1976 in Allentown, Pennsylvania, I was 11 years old. 11, keep that in mind. On a Thursday night hockey practice, I used to be a hockey player. Hockey's my sport. So I'm at this hockey practice as an 11-year-old kid. One of my coaches was a guy named Ed. He skates up to me to talk to me. I could see this in my, I can see this video in my mind right now as I'm standing here talking to you. And I can picture this in 1976. Ed said to me, Mike, you're going to play the game the way you practice. If you choose to make the practice harder, the game goes easier. And he skated away. That was a 15-second encounter at best. Little did I know at the time, 15 of the most important seconds of my life. Because now it's 30 years later, it's 2005, I'm in this freezer. It's 22 below zero. I'm all geared up and I'm spending hours going back and forth and back and forth, 59 feet at a time. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, I can look at difficulty in one of two ways. I can look at it like it's monotonous and it's boring and it's hard. I can do that. And if I choose that, I'm sunk. I'm finished before I start. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. What if I look at the difficulty the way Ed taught me 30 years ago? What if I look at the freezer the way Ed taught me to look at the practice on the hockey rink? Look at it as an opportunity to make the game go easier. When you embrace difficulty instead of running away from it, it changes your definition of what difficulty is and what it isn't. So I started looking at the freezer as my friend, as an opportunity to change the definition of difficulty. And that's exactly what I did. And before I showed up in Antarctica to run the marathon, I ran a marathon in the freezer before I showed up. So in other words, I spent 8.5 hours running a 26.2 mile marathon inside a 59 foot frozen metal box. And then when I prepared for the 100 kilometers, I ran two back to back within a week, 50 kilometer, which is 31 miles, in the freezer before I showed up to run the 100 kilometers. Because I knew going into these events, if I made the practice that much harder, the event, i.e. the marathon and the 100 kilometer in Antarctica would actually go easier. And they did. I knew that my attitude in the freezer was validated because when I finished the marathon, it took me 7 hours and 15 minutes. The 100 kilometers took 17 hours and 15 minutes. But when I finished, here was my instinctive thought. Is that all there is?
Wow.
7 hours in the marathon actually seemed more like 7 minutes because I changed the definition of difficulty. And I was galvanized as to why I was doing this. I'm keeping that in my head the whole time too. I mean, granted, the 100K got a little difficult in that the human body isn't designed to go that long that far, right? So it starts to break down, your stomach starts to have problems, your muscles are getting tired. I mean, after a while, it just, everything hurts. It hurt to stand, it hurt to sit, it hurt to walk, it hurt to run, it hurt to crawl. No matter what you did, it hurt. But you learn to become comfortable being uncomfortable. You change your definition of what comfortability or uncomfortability is, just like you change your definition of difficulty.
Wasn't that amazing? I mean, seriously, that guy has got some serious stories to tell. Would you agree?
Oh, wow. I'm so glad we got him on the show.
Oh, my gosh, guys. So here's the thing. What I want you guys to keep in mind is we are bringing him back again next week. We will be right back here with you, waiting to show you, because come on, we got some of the coolest stuff yet to come. You know that's how we roll. If you thought this was good, join us again next week. I'm Stephanie, here with Anna. We are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. You go make it a great week.